let us know not if, but it says when the poor and needy seek water. There's going to be times in our life when we walk through dry places. It is inevitable. It is prophetic. According to the Word of God, we will walk through dry places. That does not mean that we've lost out with God. That doesn't mean that we don't have the Spirit of God within us. Thank the Lord that He is with us when we walk through those dry places. Amen. How many can identify with that? Sometimes it seems like the dry places that we walk through seems like there's no end to them. It just seems like that it's one thing after another. And so many times we maybe make the statement, I don't know if I can stand another thing. It's the Popeye syndrome. That's all I can stand, and I can't stand anymore. But understand and know that God will not put more on us, amen, than we're able to bear. He knows our limitations. He knows our ability. And our ability is always through Him, amen, because without Him, we can't do anything. But how many knows through Him? Amen, we can do all things. So the Lord knows. And when the poor and needy seek water, there's something there to that word seek. I mean, there's one thing about needing water, but seeking water. And when I need to find water, I know to go to the Lord. Amen. And I'm talking about the spiritual water here. You remember Jesus at the well, and he asked for a drink of water to the Samaritan woman, but he told her, said, I can give you water that'll make you never thirst again. How many knows that water? And that water will sustain us even when we walk through dry places. But this afternoon, I needed to see some what I call immediate progress and kind of a stress relief kind of a thing. So I jumped on the lawnmower and asked God to forgive me. But I used as an excuse, well, Lord, the weatherman says it's going to rain. So I've got a few hours here. I can get a good bit of grass cut. So and I call it immediate progress, or really what I like to call it is instant gratification. How many likes instant gratification? Amen. I'm not impatient. I just want things quickly, you know. So when I'm cutting grass and somebody says, why do you like to cut grass? Because you can see exactly that you're producing something. You're productive. So every round you make, you're productive. You're cutting some grass. So I like to call it instant gratification. And it's stress relief to me. Some people like to brush those little bubbles. But I like to get out and just mow the lawn and just see that grass being swept away and cut grass. And y'all don't get any ideas for Brother Eddie to come and do some instant gratification on y'all's yards. But I will tell you, try it. It's good therapy. But as I was doing that, and it was hot, and I was thinking about, my goodness, you know, I don't need to get out here and get too hot and you know, use up all of my energy, you know. And I began to think about, you know what, it'd be real, real good to just kind of go to one of those fountains. How many's ever been to one of those little fountains, those little water that kind of shoots up in the air? Several weeks ago, I promised Trey that when we got back, we'd gone somewhere to the store, and I said, when we get back, we'll hook up the sprinkler. And it was one of those really, really hot, muggy days, and we hooked up the sprinkler, and I had to get out there with him, you know, and we was running around having a good time with that sprinkler. And, you know, you could run to the sprinkler, and that water was just as cold as everything, and then you could kind of run away from it, and then you could run back up there. Well, he got this bright idea that if he picked up the sprinkler, he could follow me around and spray me all over the yard. So he got more joy out of doing that than just leaving it there to spring up in that fountain. But my point was, there was a fountain. There was a time of relief there. And as we walk through those dry places, we can understand and know that there is a fountain. Amen. The Bible tells us, first of all, that God will open rivers in high places. I thought about the rivers, and I thought about how that most rivers have a tributary. They have several tributaries that feed the river. And most of the time, the rivers are not really flowing hard in the high places. Most of the time, it's after the tributaries have emptied into the rivers and they begin to trickle downhill or down the mountains, and they begin to accumulate at the base of the mountains and begin to form so many times the white water and the raging rivers that we all have seen. But God said, you know, I can put rivers in high places.
voices.
Amen. It takes a long, long time for those little trickles or streams of tributaries to come in and make a flowing river. But God said, you know what? When the hungry and the thirsty seek me, I can put rivers in high places. Amen. Even when you're on the mountaintop, and even when you think it's impossible to be able to flow in a raging river of blessings and anointings, God can turn that situation around and make you to have a wonderful flowing river in the midst of a high place. And I thought, God, only you could do that. Amen. Nature itself, and I know God spoke it all into existence, but it takes a time for that water to accumulate to actually be a flowing river. But God can make those things a flowing river in your life, even on the mountaintops, and open up these rivers in high places. And he was constantly reassuring the children of Israel that I will be your God. If you'll live for me, if you'll obey me, if you will heed my statutes and my precepts and live according to my commandments, I will give you water when you're thirsty. I will make a way when there seemeth no way. Jehovah Jireh, I the Lord will provide for you. How many is thankful that when we can't find any other way out, we know that God will provide for us? Amen. Oh, and I thought about the raging rivers and how wonderful they are. And then God went on to explain through the prophet. He said, not only will I open up rivers in high places, but I'll place fountains in the midst of the valleys. We need God on our mountains. Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes it takes a mountain of trying to reach a certain point in our life, of trying to fulfill a desire in our life. Sometimes we've struggled up the mountain. I remember the song, it says, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain. Amen. And how many has ever climbed Stone Mountain? And you know, it's a lot easier to get on that trailway or that tram or whatever that thing is and ride to the top. But you've accomplished something when you've climbed up that mountain. And how many knows that many, many times in our spiritual walk with God, there's a time that we need to climb the mountain. Amen. One step at a time, one trial at a time, one sickness at a time, one affliction at a time, but knowing that when we reach the top, that we're going to find a God who will provide. We're going to find a God who understands. We're going to find a God who will reward us with open rivers, even in high places. But how many know sometimes we're not on the mountain? Sometimes we're down in the valley. Sometimes we're in so low, amen, that we can't even lift our head up. Amen. It happens to the very best. It happens to the strongest of saints. It happens even to the prophets. Many times the prophets would run, amen, and hide themselves, sometimes under a juniper tree, and wish and declare that they would just never have lived, and feeling sorry for themselves. But God would sustain them even in the midst of the valley, because Jehovah Jireh, because the Lord will provide. And the prophet here tells us that I won't only give you a mist of water in the valleys, but I will produce fountains. Fountains, which is water that flows from the ground. Amen. I'm so thankful that not only the mountain water come down and forms the great rivers, but even in the midst of the valleys, even when it's been a long and dry spell, even when the season, amen, seemingly is dry and we can't find water anywhere else. And I'm talking about that spiritual water now. I'm talking about that anointing presence of God. Amen. Many of us have been saved and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost for a long, long time. But I will assure you one thing. If you've been serving God for a number of years, you've walked through some dry places. You've been in some valleys when it seemed like there was no spiritual water to be found. And it seemed like when you sort of get your head held up just a little bit, old adversary would come around and try to knock you down again. But thank God. God, even in the midst of the valley, the Bible said that God will provide fountains. Amen. I'm so glad I can go to the fountain, aren't you? I'm glad that in the midst of my problem, I can find a fountain. I'm so glad that even in the midst of my sickness, I can find a fountain. Even when you're not getting any encouragement, I talked to my good brother this morning, and I said, it is heartbreaking when you're expecting to hear some good news from a doctor, and they seemingly can't even find any encouragement. courage and words to tell you. I recall the time that Kevin was in the hospital several times, and this was the first 21 days of his life, and Sister Penny and I would go, and they would do these tests, and doctors would see him, and we were just wishing and hoping for just one encouraging word, any kind of word that we could maybe build some hope on. And this was when he was fighting for his very life. This was even before we knew about all the difficulties. But I was sharing with Brother Jim, you know, we just wanted one doctor to say, well, you know, we can try this, and maybe with this is going to help him. Or, you know, we were just looking for some doctor to say, well, we've nailed this. We know exactly what's causing it, and we're going to give you this, or we're going to use this medicine or this procedure. And you'd go day after day, but you never really heard that. You heard this and you heard that, and they even began to tell us other things were wrong with Kevin, you know, and we just wanted one little ray of hope. And I was sharing with my brother, I said, you know what, we were looking for hope in all the wrong places. Amen. We were looking encouragement from man. We was looking for some doctor to tell us that everything's going to be all right, when we should have been taking advantage of that fountain that was flowing in the midst of the valley. Amen. That good word may not come from a doctor. Amen. That encouragement may not come from a lawyer. I don't want to mess you up too bad, but that encouragement word may not even come from your pastor. But how many knows, even in the middle of the valley, even when everything is dark and gloomy all around you, there is a fountain that put there just for you. God just didn't make that fountain just by hypothetically throwing it out there, but he formed and fashioned that fountain just for us as we're walking through that valley, amen, that's just going to give us life and going to give us encouragement, and it'll spring up even in the midst of the valley. So many times we're impatient. We want our fountain at the beginning of the valley. Amen. I don't want to be in this long trial. I don't want to have to walk all the way through this valley. I want, soon as I take a few steps in the valley, that's when I want my fountain to bubble up and to feed me that nourishment. Sometimes God doesn't work that way. Sometimes it's in the midst of the valley. Sometimes it's way out there after we've done everything else that we know to do, and finally we depend on God. Finally, we give the Lord an opportunity, amen, to create a miracle in our life. And he produces time and time again. So if you're walking through that valley, don't give up. Amen. Don't get discouraged. Understand and know that God will provide. Amen. He'll make a way. We've heard it so many times. He just seemingly made a way out of the clear blue. Amen. No, it was there all the time. We just couldn't see it because we can't see through the eyes of God. He understands and knows what we're going through, and he will provide for us. He goes on to say that not only will I open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys, I will. Everybody say, I will. This is the voice of God speaking through the prophet. I will make the wilderness a pool of water. Glory to God. Amen. Not only does he give us water in high places, not only does he give us fountains, amen, in the midst of the valleys, but he'll turn your wilderness into water. Glory to God. Amen. I preached a message one time, rivers in the desert. Amen. That sounds like an oxymoron, don't it? Ain't supposed to be rivers in the desert. Amen. Rivers that have got no business in the desert. Amen. The desert is hot and dry and sand dunes and all that. But let me tell you something. The God that I serve specializes in miracles. Amen. He puts things where, amen, where he wants them to be. He makes a way when there is no way. He can turn your wilderness, amen, into water. He said, I will make a wilderness a pool of water. Glory to God. And that is not one of those mirages that you see. That is a reality. God will provide, amen, even when it seems like we're in the midst of the wilderness, even when it seems like there's no hope, God will come on the scene for us. Why? Because he's Jehovah Jireh. Because he will provide. I have used that particular scripture so many times as I minister to others, but I've also encouraged myself with that scripture. Many, many times we have to preach to ourselves. Many, many times we have to encourage ourselves. And when we see that everything else that we've tried to do falls flat, we can say, you know what? The Lord will provide. He will make a way. Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I know sometimes we stress. I know sometimes we worry. I know sometimes we think that, Lord, have you forgotten me? I'm still waiting on that blessing. I'm still waiting on that miracle. I'm still waiting on that saved loved one. Whatever the case may be. And sometimes we want to hurry up God. We become a little impatient. But just know and understand that the Lord will provide. I believe that with all of my heart. Had an opportunity to work with a man one time, and this is when I left the bread business for just a short while and got into the insurance business. And I remember that man telling me he had confidence that he could be a salesman anywhere that you would put him. And he made this statement. He said, "I am so confident that I can sell insurance that they can drop me on the street anywhere in the United States and I will be successful." I never attained that confidence. It didn't take me long to understand that when you're selling in insurance business and selling life insurance, amen, sooner or later your friends and your loved ones, amen, they're not going to want to talk to you very long because you're trying to sell them a policy. And I never attained that confidence. And because of that, I kind of burned out on the insurance thing and I got back into the bread business. But I'll always remember what he said, and he believed that. He believed so much in his ability to sell that it didn't matter. You could put in one of the most fearful things for me was walking up to a door with, call it cold calling, and knock on a door and try to sell them a policy, and they didn't know you from Adam. But it didn't seem to bother him. He had that confidence because he knew that, I guess, he had the ability and he was going to be able to rely on that ability. Well, I said that to say this, you know, I don't put my faith and trust in my ability, but I do know wherever I am in this world, Jehovah Jireh, whatever I go through, my Lord will provide. Amen. I'm not banking on my ability. I'm not banking on what I have, but I am banking on his promise. Amen. And his promise will always be true. Amen. He cannot lie. He will not lie, and he cannot fail. I know the Lord will provide. Somebody, I think, needs to know and understand that tonight. So maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you've been tearing over certain things, but I want you to understand, these are not my words. These are the words of Almighty God. These are the words that he said, the Lord will provide. Amen. He will understand our situation. So not only will he give us, open up rivers in high places and place fountains, bubbling waters in the midst of the valley. He'll turn your wilderness into a pool of water. And then finally he says, amen, and the dry springs and the dry land, springs of water. He'll turn that dry land, that dry situation, amen, into springs of water. How many seen a spring of water? Amen. When you know, the water just kind of bubbles up around you, and all of a sudden you begin to dig out a little bit, and then it begins to form a pool, and first thing you know, you got a little pond of water there. But amen, something you didn't even know was underground was there all time for you, just waiting on you to dig down so you could find that water bubbling over. The Lord will provide for your situation. He will make a way. He will put a river right in the midst of the desert. Amen. And he'll put a fountain in the midst of your valley. I thought about the fountain and I thought, Lord of mercy, you know, there's times that I need that fountain. Amen. There's times that I need that cool spiritual water, that water that only the Lord can provide and only the Lord can give us. And I just wanted to reassure you tonight. But the Bible says those things are available when we seek water. When the poor, not if, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none. I just can't seem to find the answer. I just can't seem to find peace. I just can't seem to hear that encouraging word. I just can't seem to see any light at the end of the tunnel. In other words, we declared it hopeless. We declared it a dry season or a dry place or the midst of the valley. Those are the times that God likes to work. There's a song that says, God likes to work when nothing else will. And when we get to that point, we're almost to the point of giving up, almost to the point of saying, Lord, I'm just tired. I can't go on. I can't take another step. That's when the Lord steps in and He will provide. The Lord will provide for you tonight. He'll provide for you next week. So wherever you go, whatever your life's journey is, just understand there's one thing. The Lord will provide for you. He will make a way. God bless you. I love you. I appreciate your prayers this morning. It meant so much to Sister Penny and myself. And we thank God for you. We thank God for this church. We thank God for each and every one of you. And we need to encourage one another. We need to let one another know that, because as I said at the very beginning of this little short message tonight, that there'll be times when you really can't seemingly see the hand of God moving and operating in your life. Those are the times that you have to walk by faith. Those are the times that you have to know that Jehovah Jireh, the Lord, will provide. Would you stand tonight? Would you bow your heads? Would you close your eyes? If you have a need tonight, if you seemingly are walking through a dry spell, if you would just give anything to fill that fountain